When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to eighth time. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Wednesday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us. Boy, we got a lot to get to today. I'm Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne. Seth, you clarified something for me right before we went on the air. I'm sitting here. I'm going, why am I feeling a little bit ornery today? Why am I feeling a little out of sorts? And it's because somebody turned up the AC, and not turned up as in made it colder in here. Somebody
turned up the thermostat.
Down the AC. Yeah, turned up the thermostat to make it hotter in
it's
the
like
studio.
80 degrees
here.
In here. I don't know if Bajani or Creighton are sucking weight to make their weight class for a wrestling match or something. But they're in here doing radio like Loudon Swain last night.
Yeah.
That's the kid from Vision Quest.
Sauna style. Go watch Vision Quest. It's an 80s movie that ages decently.
Yeah.
You know, now there's probably a few things in there that are politically incorrect now. But
mostly giving any credence to the state of Oregon high school wrestling.
Yes.
That's probably the worst thing. Ooh, you're the Oregon State champ.
Okay. Yeah. Thermostat, like controlling the thermostat and thinking that other people want it, an uncharacteristic temperature. That's an underrated, like, underrated coworker thing.
It'd be like if you walked into a gym and you were like, hey, it needs to be 80 in here.
Yeah.
Like, all right, no, that's your preference. All right, Mr. Bikram weirdo.
By the way, it was like 87 degrees outside yesterday. Mm-hmm. Who's coming into this studio saying, I need it to be hot in here?
It's good, though. I feel good. I need to be appropriately agitated as this team is rapidly... This game is rapidly rolling towards us. I got caught by surprise that D'Amico was having his press conference yesterday.
Right.
Because it was like a normal Wednesday for them. So D'Amico and CJ Stroud were doing their normal Wednesday things because the game's on a Saturday.
Tuesday's usually totally dark.
Right. It's other than charity appearances.
Right, right.
I'm like, yeah, whatever.
Right. But stuff that matters to us.
I see your press release, Texans. Good job with the kids. Get to the football stuff.
Get to the stuff that gives us content that we can build segments around with audio, please.
Yeah.
It's a lack
of
audio.
Us.
Yeah.
You guys are out there thinking of sick kids.
Right.
What about the sick middle-aged white men?
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Who's going to think of them?
Who need topics. So D'Amico did a press conference yesterday, as did CJ Stroud. We'll get to a lot of that stuff. The big news yesterday coming out about this game, big shock. Patrick Mahomes and his Gumby ankle, full participant at practice yesterday.
So these practices on a short week at the end of the season are glorified walkthroughs, and I saw people expressing skepticism over, okay, well, what's it really mean? For whatever it's worth, they're supposed to put that injury report is like you're doing a normal full-go Wednesday practice.
Correct.
Like sometimes teams won't even be practicing and they still have to put out what they would be.
For the gamblers.
He's hypothetically full go.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a known injury, so I'm guessing that they're approaching this as, hey, he's going to play like he has through every ankle injuries he's had. As much as early in Mahomes' career we were wondering, all right, well, hey, he might be Steph Curry. He might have these chronic ankle issues. Steph Curry's ankle stopped getting injured. Mahomes keeps injuring his ankles, but he annually plays through the ankle injury.
Yeah, the biggest thing for me, like the biggest disconnect I have right now with the way the Mahomes ankle injury is being covered, and you know, you and I have the TV on in studio here, so we have it on ESPN every day, so we we see kind of what the national perspective is on certain topics as the show is unfolding on First Take and Get Up and so forth. Now, this morning, it's not on ESPN. It's on the news, which is be depressing.
A man was shot twice by a suspect who took off with his cell phone.
Yeah,
seems, which is a dumb move unless you're trying to get that cell phone for, you know, maybe there's a picture on there that you don't want.
Yeah, incriminating evidence.
Other than that, you're just running off with your own little GPS tracking advice.
Yes.
If you're like, if you're a bank robber and you threw the tracking advice into the bag of cash yourself.
So, but as far as Mahomes goes and the coverage of the Mahomes injury.
Did his brother steal the cell phone?
I don't know.
There's a good chance Jackson Mahomes.
That would be the world coming together in a strange way. No, this Mahomes thing, the injury, and then the people posing the question, should the Chiefs shut down Patrick Mahomes for the rest of the season?
Mm-hmm.
That was a question yesterday on a lot of those debate shows. Like, should they just, this ankle injury, an injury that we've seen him play with,
right,
like 10 times in his career.
Usually mic'd up.
Should he shut it down? The Chiefs are playing for more than the Texans are right now.
Right.
The Chiefs have a 2-game lead over the Bills for the 1 seed overall, but they lost to the Bills. The Chiefs have a much harder schedule than the Bills the rest of the way.
Yep.
They play the Texans on Saturday. And keep in mind, every game has been hard for the Chiefs this year, other than the Browns this past week. Literally 1-score games up and down their schedule. They play the Texans, the Steelers on Christmas Day, and then they close at the Denver Broncos. Those are 3 playoff teams right there that they're playing. The Bills play nobody the rest of the year.
They play the Patriots, the Jets, and the Patriots.
Yeah,
the Bills are in a position where they could perhaps just cruise on through, where the Chiefs...
I mean, Mahomes needs to play this game.
That bye week, that's the one benefit, I guess, of only the number one seed getting a first-round bye this year.
It's a huge advantage.
And the Chiefs are banged up. Their defense, they've lost their starting cornerback, and then their slot corner got a concussion this last week. I don't know if he's going to play this week or not. So the Chiefs, it's not like they can just cruise on through victories and get the number one seed.
That bye is huge for them because not only do you get a week off to rest Mahomes' ankle before the playoffs start, you avoid having to go to Buffalo, which is where they've lost their only game this year.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one loss they have this year is at Buffalo. So the Chiefs have a ton to play for in this game. Mahomes is a full participant on the injury report. He's playing in this game on Saturday.
You know, the other thing, too, about that Buffalo matchup, I was just, you know, Mahomes has thrown a lot of interceptions this year, but he's only thrown 2 in the last 7 games, and they were to Buffalo. So, that's the sum total of it. The Chiefs are so hard to figure out, but I think they are in no position to not worry about getting that first round bye.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah, they haven't been destroying teams this year. Mm-hmm. You know, they've been winning a bunch of 1-score games.
Really frustrating because they beat the Ravens. They beat the Chargers twice.
Yeah, they beat a lot of good teams.
The Bills are the good team on their schedule. They've lost to is the Bills. And like other than that though, whatever their point differential is, however mediocre Mahomes looks, they're still beating good teams.
A week off and playing all your games at home, including not having to go to Buffalo, is a huge prize for this. Mahomes is going to play in this game on Saturday. Here's Patrick Mahomes yesterday in his media availability, they asked him about the ankle injury, where he's at, and to compare it to the last big ankle injury he had in the 2022 postseason.
Obviously, we put ourselves in good position to where, I guess I wouldn't say it was dire that I play. I mean, it's something where it's not like in the AFC Championship game where we're playing to get to the Super Bowl. I mean, we have a little bit of room to kind of spare, but at the end of the day, we're trying to win. We're trying to win the football game, and I'm a competitor. I want to go out there and play. So I'll push myself to get to the best place possible over these next few days, and we'll be able to make a decision then.
How does it feel compared to the Jacksonville injury, similar?
Jacksonville was worse. Yeah. I would say. I mean, that one was pretty significant. I mean, this one didn't feel good by any means. But the Jacksonville one, just the way I got caught, I didn't really get this last one, I kind of got my feet out at the very end, whereas that Jacksonville one, I didn't really get to. Obviously, it's responded better, quicker. I think that'd be the best thing to say. But I want to be in a better spot than I was in that next game going up against the Bengals. So I'll try to see if I can get there.
He's playing. He's playing, and you know what? If he does play, I'm glad he's playing.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a must-win for the Texans. Like, if the Texans needed this game to clinch the division or something huge was at stake, then I would say, okay, just give me the version of the Chiefs that gives the Texans the best chance to win this game. This game, Seth, against the Chiefs and the Ravens game, I need to find out some truth about the Texans here going into the playoffs. You know what I mean? I need to find out what exactly they are going on the road against a motivated Chiefs team. The Ravens are going to be equally motivated on Christmas Day. They're not even winning their division right now. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have two very, very good, well-quarterbacked, well-coached teams that have a ton to play for. So I'm cool with it, man. We know the Texans are... Look, the Texans, there's an 80% chance they're going to be the four seed. I need to find out. I need to see where they stack up.
Well, no,
up
and they need
teams.
To... The one thing I think I maybe underestimated about this team at the beginning of the season was just how much improvement Kamari Lassiter and Kalen Bullock would be able to make over the course of a season. And it's a different football team right now because those two are playing like veteran players as opposed to early in the year when they were rookies. That's on the defensive side of the ball. The offensive side of the ball, look, you've got a bunch of veteran players over there, but you also have some young one young offensive lineman at this point, but then Titus Howard trying to get his feet wet again playing left guard.
Right.
Not to mention working all the various tight ends, and they need to get better. And they also, I think, need to prove it to themselves that they can hang with these really good teams, which they've done. They've hung with the good teams before, but it's largely been because of defensive dominance or defensive performance.
Yeah.
They need to go out there and put in a good offensive effort at some point versus one of these genuinely good teams.
Well, and they need to do it on the road in a hostile environment where the weather's a little bit cold.
Yeah, you know,
they're going to have to
get a taste of it.
Right. Well, right now, look, they're going to get a home game in the first round. In the second round of the playoffs, barring an upset by the Chargers or the Broncos, they're going to be going to Kansas City, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, or Baltimore to have to win a football game. Last I checked, those places are all pretty cold in the middle of January, you know? So this is a good little workout for the Texans.
Bad news for that prep side of things. This weekend, it's forecast to be a high of 46 in
Kansas
City.
Okay, well, that's not exactly emblematic of what the weather's going to be.
Only a 6% chance of precipitation.
Okay, okay. Well, should be watchable then, at least.
That'd be fun. It'd be a nice, comfortable game to play. High 40s is...
Oh, it's beautiful.
High 40s, low 50s, best temperature for a football game.
Perfect. Text message early here on the show. Why do I feel like we're being set up to be labeled a dirty team if Mahomes is playing hurt on Saturday?
I love it. I love it.
I do too.
We're not being set up. That's just the way it is.
Are you surprised we haven't seen that Kalen Bullock hit played over and over again on national TV? I am too.
And not because I thought it was a dirty hit or anything. It's just because, the Texans are the flavor of the day when it comes to, like, are the Texans a dirty defense? And we haven't heard a single thing about it.
Zero.
And again, we go back to what we said before, man. The fact that it happened to a sliding quarterback matters a lot.
Yeah.
You know what happened in that game that bothered me?
What?
And it's nothing to be done about it, but man, Mario Edwards made a heroic effort to not hit Tua in the head and neck area.
To tattoo when he was him in sliding. The ribs.
Yeah Mario like, contorted his body, came in, and hit Tua in the ribs with his shoulder.
It's a good hit.
And then later in the game... Like barely taps.
Their helmets grazed each other.
It barely taps helmet to helmet.
15-yard penalty. Yeah.
Which I mean, you don't even bat an eyelash at that
anymore.
The
world we live in. Man.
Other than it doesn't get called consistently. Yeah. The ticky tack ones. But
all right. Patrick Mahomes full participant in practice. That was the big news yesterday. That's the Chiefs side of things for this game. The biggest question every week now that the Texans have clinched the AFC South. And there's an 80% chance that they can't change their seating. D'Amico got asked it yesterday. We'll let you hear what it was coming.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Coming up next,
live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast, Texans Chiefs on Saturday. Saturday, but with the usual Sunday schedule. 9 a.m. Texans countdown, noon kick, post-game following. And then we get to watch football on Sunday, man. Gotten to do that way more this year than in previous years.
Yeah.
We're thankful for the primetime games. We're thankful the Texans are relevant enough to give us a few Sundays to watch, to just sit and do what America does, watch football mm-hmm. all day. We get one of those this weekend. I'm very excited
about it. So Saturday, having a game on Saturday followed immediately by a game 5 days later, which is just, it's like a normal Thursday game situation. That's the way I've been
thinking. It's usually Sunday, Thursday. This time it's Saturday, Wednesday.
This is how I'm looking at it. The only real challenge of this three-game stretch is this week. Because it's a short week, so this is the week leading up to just what's an all-out sprint.
Yeah.
And you're going to go, so you have to play on short rest, but it's a one-day short rest, no big deal, after your bye week. And then it's just like you're playing a Thursday night game, and then you get another little mini bye week before the final game of the season.
Yeah, it is. We're going to have to go like another 10 days, 11 days with no football, and then the build-up to that is the Titans, who may or may not be starting Will Levis. He got benched yesterday, which the initial reaction to any benching of Will Levis is to point at Will Levis like Nelson on The Simpsons and go, except he threw for 278 against us like a month ago.
The weirdest thing about this defense from the last 2 years is their ability to underperform versus genuinely bad quarterbacks.
Desmond Ridder.
It's
Bryce
so
Young,
weird.
Zach Wilson.
So I'm kind of hoping that this is just, what if Pat Mahomes is actually a mediocre quarterback?
Janky Aaron Rodgers.
Everybody's like, oh no, you don't want to wait. Vintage Pat Mahomes could come out at any moment. No, I'm worried that he's going to get worse.
Yep.
And then he's going to go all Zach Wilson on our asses.
Yeah.
Like we're a 48-year-old housewife.
Oh, my God. So D'Amico Ryan's got asked the question that I think he's going to continually get asked here, game by game, which is, are you thinking about resting guys now that you have clinched a playoff
spot? See if you can guess what the answer is.
Yeah, for me, it's anytime you strap it up, it's time to go compete and win. I don't know any other way. I don't see how anybody else could find any other way. Like, our guys put a lot of work into going out, putting their bodies on the line to go compete. So that's what it'll be about. One game at a time mentality still hasn't changed. Just because, you know, we won the AFC South, our approach is still the same. Go out and play good football, get better in all three phases.
So this is what you cannot do with the Texans offense. You cannot have any kind of opportunity to invite any kind of attitude of, hey, we made it. There is not a chance in hell. You just can't do that. If you actually want to advance in the playoffs this year, you've got to get the offense improved. Is it marginally? Is it a huge amount? Whatever it is, they've got to get better. And you can't treat any of these games like they treated the preseason, where, hey, no big deal if the offensive line doesn't all play together, and even if they do, let's just play a few snaps. They're bad. You gotta keep getting better offensively, and you've got a good opportunity versus two games here just to A, do that, B, psychologically prove to yourself that you can hang with these teams without the help of the defense. All of that, and not to mention, I still like the idea of potentially getting the 3 seed. This you're not in a position right now. This is not the team where you can just cruise on through the end of the regular season.
Yep. I would agree with that. Here was C.J. Stroud asked about the upcoming schedule.
This is going to set us up for, you know, our seeding and, you know, who we play, if we play home or not multiple times, you know. So, you know, our destiny is really in front of us. And, you know, we're able to do what we want to do, you know, to be really great. But at the end of the day, you know, it's all about getting in. And we're able to do that. And, you know, but that's just the start. That's one of our goals now. We're trying to go get more. And, you know, I think, you know, this team is special enough to do that. So, you know, we got to just be hard on ourselves.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, so CJ's a little more open about the ramifications of the game, the seeding.
Yeah.
That there are 3 games being played in 11 days. D'Amico is, at least to the media, is way more tunnel vision.
Yeah, and I think
so
that
Chiefs.
However aware D'Amico is of any of the other stuff, the playoff implications or anything, I think he probably feels the same way I do. He just does it with a more positive tone about the fact that this team still needs to improve and that the best place to improve is against good competition. Yeah. You only get so many opportunities to go against good competition. They've got to keep building on some of the good things they've done, but just figure out some way to make things click a little bit better.
Well,
and if this, especially if this is the offensive line permutation you're going to go with, I want Blake Fisher to get as many meaningful snaps at tackle as possible. I want Titus Howard, even though he's played guard before, I want him to get a bunch of reps. And
it's Chris Jones.
Even, you know, the run game was frustrating. I'm going to do a breakdown with Drew Hodgson today or tomorrow on the good and the bad run plays. But there were some bad run plays in that game where I'm not as down on the Texans' offensive line. Some of them, there was one circulating on social media yesterday where somebody was saying it was a bad play design, and I don't think it was. It was a really tough block for Jarrett Patterson to make, he had to go out and try to block a head up defensive tackle. Like, that's a hard block to make. You need reps doing that against good defensive linemen, and it wasn't a bad play call or play design or anything like that. They just need to get better.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a chance to build a little confidence, too. Like, you go into Kansas City, I don't care how you beat them. You beat Kansas City, and then you put up a good showing, maybe beat Baltimore on Christmas Day. Those are two huge wins heading into the post. That you got two huge wins heading into the postseason, 10 days to rest for your final game.
Yeah.
They can handle that Titans game however they want to at that point.
Yeah.
You know, they can treat that like a preseason game if they want to. I would like it that the next time the offense plays football is not, you know, going from December 25th to January the 12th.
Yeah, there's that part of it, too. When the really good teams take, like, the multi-week layoff. I mean, you can cherry-pick whichever one suits your feeling about it, but there have been instances of teams getting multiple weeks off, basically, and then looking very rusty in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, and this team feels like one that would happen.
Yeah, I'm talking about dominant teams there.
Yeah,
you know, go back to Tampa or what have you.
For sure. This is going back to the opening of the open to the show where we were talking about Patrick Mahomes. If you missed it, if you're just getting in your car, Patrick Mahomes was a full participant in Kansas City's practice yesterday, which that injury report is kind of gospel when it comes to stuff like this. So you predict these plays?
I'm predicting plays.
Yeah.
I think I'm guessing the line adjusted accordingly.
Good question.
As soon as I saw the news that Pat Mahomes is coming back, I checked one book and the game wasn't on their book. So I don't know if they pulled it temporarily.
If he plays, there are some books out there that are exposed right now.
Yeah.
Because the line has been
that went in on the Chiefs when it was, yeah.
The line has been reflective of Patrick Mahomes not playing at a lot of places, which means you could be getting the Chiefs. There's people out there that have the Chiefs +3 in a game, albeit a likely gimpy Mahomes, but would be playing at home against a team that has yet to prove itself in an environment like this on the road.
Not to get deep into the gambling side of it, but I'm intrigued by when that line swung as much as it did in the Texans' favor, are there a lot of really smart gamblers who are figuring out ways to straddle that and hedge it?
I'm sure.
And like knowing that the line's going to move.
It's KC -3 now.
They become like commodities brokers.
There's a 6-point middle on this game right now.
Yeah.
Dude, if you got the Chiefs at +3, you are laughing right now.
So, but now here's the thing. Texans defense has a reputation for violence.
They do.
They're kind of like Russell Crowe in Hollywood Confidential. You know, okay. Wearing a suit,
tell you right
but
now,
they'll
I
show up.
I haven't seen that.
You haven't
movie.
Seen that? No. Okay. Oh, L.A. Confidential? L.A. Confidential. Okay. Yeah.
Still
it's a good
it.
Movie.
Is it good?
I watched Gladiator 2 yesterday.
Oh, okay.
I enjoyed it. It's tough because it doesn't hold. In all fairness to the guy that plays the new lead, I don't know who he is. He's probably super famous.
Yeah.
He's no Russell Crowe.
Right.
You know, and I think that's just me. Obviously, I'm biased because of my age and everything, but Russell Crowe's a great actor. I thought it was a really good movie, but just the acting's not the same as in the first one.
Is there a lineage here? Is he like the son of Russell Crowe?
I don't want to give any spoilers, it follows the same story.
It lives in the same world.
It takes a little while to figure it out, yeah, okay. But it does, yes, very much in the same world. It's like 15 or 20 years after Russell Crowe.
Okay.
Spoiler alert, in Gladiator 1 dies. It follows.
That would have been a spoiler for me like 8 months ago.
Oh, sorry.
Ago. Remember? No, remember?
You can tell from the beginning he's going to die.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Remember I hadn't seen Gladiator? And I did. I went and watched it that weekend. And I liked it a lot.
As sequels go, I thought they did a good job of not... You know, sometimes they lean too hard into like, hey, this is a callback to the first one, remember?
Yeah.
Like, they almost just envision people in the audience going, ooh,
yeah.
I get that reference.
Throw it in your face.
And it almost starts feeling gimmicky.
Yeah.
They did just enough.
Okay.
Just enough. Yeah.
I like that. Speaking of
good violence.
Well, I was just saying, speaking of violence is what I was about to say. Text message. I have a strong premonition Mahomes will fake slide just to give us the bird over the Aziz hit. Big middle finger. Mm. He's going to fake slide just to rub it in our rub our noses in the fact that we're missing our middle linebacker.
You know who slid a lot last week?
Who?
CJ.
He did.
I thought CJ was...
Were you nervous at all when he was sliding?
I thought he did a pretty good job of getting down on time. There was one Dolphins player that kind of had to glide over the top of him and hit him on his way down. But yeah, I was, I'm always going to be nervous whenever any quarterback.
He's really
slides.
Good at protecting himself.
He is pretty good.
He takes a lot of hits, man. Yeah. Takes a lot of hits.
Yeah. He's like, I don't need any more.
Right.
I take enough in the pocket.
Yes.
I'm just going to go ahead and get the hell down.
Yep. Although he didn't take a lot of big hits in the pocket this week.
Protection has improved.
Yeah.
I thought it feels like decades now we've been saying this about the offensive line. It might be a full decade where, hey, you know what? Actually, they're doing okay in pass protection. It's the run blocking that's horrendous.
It's going to be this way forever.
I think it's something. It might have to do something with either the humidity or the pollution or something.
Okay.
I don't know.
That's where we are now with fixing
these guys
the
have
run
all, they all have very high BMIs. And
they do.
Maybe they struggle in that more physically grueling part of the game.
Let's shift gears for a second here. Brian McTaggart was on the MLB Network. Brian McTaggart covers the Astros, covers their beat for MLB.com. We're still kind of sitting and waiting on Alex Bregman. That's the next big shoe to drop here. Tags was asked, what's the master plan for the Astros this offseason?
I think getting Paredes allows them to put him at third base if Bregman does not sign. And they're still in the running to sign Bregman. If they do sign Bregman, which I think is a long shot, you can move Paredes to first base. But they still need to add another bat. You know, Wisniewski's going to come in and help the bottom of that rotation. They definitely needed another arm. Maybe they get a couple of their pitchers back this year healthy. But they cannot lose Kyle Tucker and Alex Bregman and not add another impact bat, whether that's, you know, signing Santander, trading for Arenado, moving Paredes to first, signing Christian Walker. There has to be another move. And I think they're working on that. I mean, this just cannot be their offseason because that would be a big step back if they lose those guys and replace them with Paredes.
Feels like we were saying the same thing about first base last year. So I don't always look at it as a foregone conclusion that, of course, they're going to address this. I mean, there's going to be at least one new face in the...
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, yeah. But the difference with last year, obviously, is Kyle Tucker was still on the team.
I know, right. But I'm saying the first base position was like, okay, that felt like the, okay, you got to address first base. It's
just such a
huge hole.
Right.
You got to address it. You're not really going to roll with Jose Abreu, are you? That was...
See, I felt like we knew they were just because... He signed and he's
resigned to it.
I mean, look, it took the jaws of life to get him out of the lineup.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
and he had made.
I think we all agreed that first base sucked going into last season, but I was resigned to the fact that I guess it's going to be Abreu. And Abreu had a good postseason last year,
yeah.
You know?
And September.
In September, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. So I think your point is well taken on the position being bad.
Whether it's the Texans' interior offensive line or backup running back or whatever, like we've got multiple instances of teams looking like they should definitely do something
yes,
about it.
That's a good way to put it.
And they don't do it.
That's right. That's right.
You're going to do something about this, right? I'm sure it's that. You know what it is? It's like, hey, kids, listen, good life lesson here. There's a phenomenon that happens when there's a medical emergency mm-hmm. where there might be 20 people standing around watching somebody have a medical emergency, and everybody assumes somebody else is going to make the call. So just be the person who makes the call. Whenever you think, like, oh, somebody else surely will do that, just know, just go ahead and do it.
Be the person.
Because the chances are that there's a lot of people standing around assuming exactly what you're assuming.
There was a guy at the Steeler game. Amy and I were leaving the Steeler game last weekend.
Yeah.
There was a dude, as we were leaving the stadium, laying on the sidewalk, and there were 10 people just standing around him.
Yeah.
He was I was looking at him like, Amy, he might be like having a real, like, legit medical episode.
Yeah.
Here. Now, did I become the guy to step in that you're talking about, Seth, to call 911? I think somebody had called 911 at that point.
Yeah.
But nobody was administering anything to him. Like, he was probably drunk.
Uh-huh.
But it was looking like it could have been something else.
Right, right, yeah.
It was kind of scary, man. It was a little scary.
You know, I was at Bush a few weeks ago mm-hmm. in the E terminal, and right down there at the end of like E9 or wherever, it's a huge, you know, where it gets really crowded there. Yeah. There's a bunch of United gates.
Yep.
There was a guy like screaming at the top of his lungs, yeah, like yelling for his name. Let's say I can't remember the kid's name. Let's say it was Joe. Joe! Joe! And he looked crazy. Like he really looked, it felt like something you might see when you're walking past the bus station or something.
Like he was on something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah. And everybody was just kind of standing around trying to figure it. So finally, like me and another gentleman walked up to him, kind of like keeping our distance. And because this guy was only screaming one name, Joe, Joe, Joe. And it turned, he wasn't crazy. He had lost his kid. His kid was nonverbal. Oh, I don't know if he's autistic or whatever. So he explained it to us. And, you know, and like then we were able to go find somebody from one of the airlines to work with him. But it was like nobody knew how to handle it. No, it was just so strange and weird.
Well, and the only videos you see from airports nowadays are things like that turning into fisticuffs for some reason.
That's where I feel guilty because part of my thinking was like, I'm going to go up and talk to this guy. I'm like, there's a good chance this is like going to be some part of a viral video or something.
Yeah.
Like, so you're like trying to keep your distance and everything, but still have a kind of, yeah.
Did they find his kid?
They did. They did.
That's...
do something.
Do something.
If you see something, do something.
Do something. Mm. There you go.
That woman sitting at the bar, you might figure like, oh, she's got to have a boyfriend. Right? Who knows?
You never know.
That's what everybody else is thinking.
Do something.
Go do something.
That's it.
Go talk to that lady.
Good advice, Seth Payne.
But take the cues. You know, don't hover. You know, if she's not,
don't be creepy.
If she's not reciprocating, then walk away.
Then walk away. Go for, get a drink. Headlines coming up next. DeMeco Ryans on the Kansas City Chiefs. Update on Patrick Mahomes. QBs getting benched left and right. We love that. And a trade involving an Astros favorite, sarcasm font. That's coming up next in headlines.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, let's get to the headlines. The Texans and the Chiefs this Saturday at noon. You can hear that game on Sports Radio 610, obviously. Seth and I have you for Texans Countdown starting at 9 a.m. DeMeco Ryans met with the media yesterday. I'm not sure how many people are totally aware of this, but DeMeco Ryans and Andy Reid have crossed paths before. DeMeco's first year in Philadelphia in 2012 was Andy Reid's final year.
Yeah.
In Philadelphia as the head coach. Here was DeMeco Ryans yesterday on his respect for Andy Reid.
He was a really great coach. Did a great job of looking out for his players. Learned a lot from Andy and how he ran things. Just a ton of respect for him. He's been very successful his entire career. Talk about a guy who's detailed in every single thing, not only offensive football, but defense, special teams, like all across the board. Just a really tremendous football coach who's had a ton of success and loves to do it with a smile.
And D'Amico's brought that up before. You know, when people talk about, people talk like Kyle Shanahan and Gary Kubiak are his big coaching influences, and he spent a huge chunk, a good chunk of time with Chip Kelly, and then obviously Andy Reid as well, and he's cited that before. The one thing that's interesting about the common bond, or maybe some insight into Andy Reid's psychology, is if Carson Wentz were to play this game, I think Reid would love it. Because it would be a smoke him if you got him type of moment where he might have 20 designed QB runs or zone read type plays, and it would be a much different game plan. I think they would very much be trying to control the game as much as possible with a running quarterback and not worry about and not put him in a position where he can turn the ball over a bunch.
That's a really interesting point. Like what type of pressure does that put on the Texans coaching staff?
Yeah.
Defensive coaching staff to prepare for two different quarterbacks that are stylistically would be used very differently on a short week, too.
Right, on a short week where it's not as big as a deal as it used to be because, you know, when they started doing a lot of zone read in the NFL, there were a lot of NFL players that were, they'd been caught in that lapse, you know, where they hadn't actually seen it in college that much, but they're veteran NFL players, and they're looking at it like it's a purple cow or something. Like, what the hell do I do with this?
Yeah.
Where, like, all these guys have grown up playing against it, so I don't think it's as much of a deal as it used to be. It's just kind of a hammering of a few times during the week during practice, you throw in some QB run type stuff and just hammer the fundamentals.
I think Mahomes is going to play in this game. Let's skip down to Mahomes here, guys. We'll go to Mahomes 1. Mahomes was asked about his injury yesterday. He said, well, we're in a good spot as a team, and it feels better than my injury a couple years ago.
Obviously, we put ourselves in good position to where, I guess I wouldn't say it was dire that I play. I mean, it's something where it's not like in the AFC Championship game where we're playing to get to the Super Bowl. I mean, we have a little bit of room to kind of spare, but at the end of the day, we're trying to win. We're trying to win the football game, and I'm a competitor. I want to go out there and play. So I'll push myself to get to the best place possible over these next few days, and we'll be able to make a decision then.
How does it feel compared to the Jacksonville injury? Similar?
Jacksonville was worse. I would say. I mean, that one was pretty significant. I mean, this one didn't feel good by any means. But the Jacksonville one, just the way I got caught, I didn't really get the. And this last one, I kind of got my feet out at the very end. Whereas that Jacksonville one, I didn't really get to. Obviously, it's responded better, quicker. I think that'd be the best thing to say. But I want to be in a better spot than I was in that next game going up against the Bengals. So I'll try to see if I can get there.
So the thing about when you have chronic ankle sprains is that because when I was younger, I had a really, really bad sprained ankle, and then I ended up for the next couple of years. I would sprain my ankle routinely, or at least it felt like routinely, and every time it hurts as much as the first time you injured it, but it's not nearly as, I don't know if your body's just hypersensitive to it or whatever, but you sprain it, but it's not as big a deal, and your body recovers from it more quickly, maybe because you're prone to spraining it, yeah, I don't know. But he's already demonstrated multiple times that he can play through these ankle sprains. And as you've pointed out multiple times, the Chiefs still very much have something to play for.
Yeah.
The Bills have a super easy schedule down the stretch, whereas the Chiefs have a really tough schedule down the stretch. And the Bills have the head-to-head matchup victory versus the Chiefs. So if the Chiefs want to get that number one seed, which I think they should want to, given the way they're banged up right now.
Yes.
And their starting cornerback's on IR. Their slot corner's got a concussion.
They've had receiver injury issues all year. Yeah,
so I don't think they mess around with just trying to, you know, chalk this one up to fate.
No.
I just watched Gladiator, too, so I'm big on fate right now.
I think destiny. I think Mahomes plays, and I think they've got more to play for than the Texans do, at least empirically, like in the standings and whatnot.
Yeah.
But the Texans need to play well. The Texans need to string some good football games together here against good teams heading into the playoffs. Other news in the NFL. How's this feel, Texan fans? 3 weeks after he torched the Texans for 278 yards in a win at NRG Stadium, Will Levis benched for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
Will Levis benched and Kirk Cousins benched. The Cousins one is more interesting because that's a team that's still trying to compete for a playoff spot. Mm-hmm. And it was so controversial, I guess I'll say, when they picked Michael Penix with the 8th overall pick. But that might be, in retrospect, that might be a team figuring out they gave $100 million guaranteed to a lemon, the fastest ever in NFL history.
Right, right, right.
They gave him that money in the middle of March, Kirk Cousins, and they draft Michael Penix Jr. with the 8th overall pick 5 weeks later.
Mm-hmm.
And now here he is.
Which, in the end, you wonder, okay, did they realize that Cousins wasn't the same guy and everything? I know they deny all of that, and this is just what we were going to do, but I will credit them if, when Kirk Cousins got here, even after they passed the physical and there's nothing they could do about it, if they realized, oh boy, you know what? We're not so sure. Okay, if they recognize their own mistake that quickly, I'll give them credit for that ultimately.
Well, especially if it ends up fishing their season out of the grease.
Yeah.
You know, they may have waited a little too long in retrospect to bench Kirk. I mean, they won this game they played on Monday night, but Cousins was not good. He was like 11 of 17 for barely 100 yards.
They were stuck in that position of it's been a steady slide, too. So, like, okay, is this just a lull he's working through, or is it a 36-year-old with an Achilles tendon recovery?
Yeah, He's been really bad the last month or so. So he gets benched. Michael Penix in there. Levis benched. I guess relevant to the Texans in so much as the Texans play the Titans the last game of the year. I don't know if the game's going to mean anything.
Yeah.
But we might see Mason Rudolph.
Well, and what do we care? I mean, is there a single Texans fan out there that thinks, oh, bad quarterback, no big deal? Like, no.
You shouldn't.
Of course they don't. Yeah. I'm terrified of bad quarterbacks.
Yes.
Great. Mason. I'd rather have Tom Brady at his peak back there than Mason Rudolph. The Texans, for whatever reason, I would include Aaron Rodgers now in that category of quarterbacks who aren't good anymore.
Yeah.
And you let him look like an all-pro in the second half of that game.
You see the Yankees traded for Cody Bellinger?
Yeah.
He's in the American League now.
Mm.
Bellinger, we're going to see Cody Bellinger 6 or 7 times a year.
The big hardcore baseball analysis I saw on this was that Cody Bellinger's girlfriend is Aaron Judge's ex-girlfriend.
Giancarlo Stanton.
Oh, is it Giancarlo Stanton?
It's Giancarlo Stanton.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. Giancarlo Stanton's ex-girlfriend is married to Cody Bellinger.
Yep. Married?
Married. It's his wife. Yeah.
So she's been on the circuit for a while.
It's his wife.
She landed on the right
she's
one.
She's got
there.
A type.
Okay.
Baseball players. Rich baseball players.
Yeah.
I don't want to judge.
Is she notable in her own right?
She's good looking in the pictures that I saw. I don't know. I don't know what her day job is. I'm not sure. But yeah, man, we get a little Cody Bellinger in our lives. Better with the Yankees and with the Astros. That was one of the rumored things with the Astros. I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't know if I want Cody Bellinger. The Astros
were entertaining it at all. Seriously, it's a little bit of a letdown, but whatever.
Yep.
Bygones, et cetera.
Indeed. We wait. We still wait on any Alex Bregman news. Nothing new on the Alex Bregman front. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Hey, Stefon Diggs. He lives. He speaks. He was on Good Morning Football yesterday. Let's read into things that Stefon Diggs said on Good Morning Football. Specifically, could he be back with the Houston Texans in 2025? We'll hear from Stefon Diggs coming up next.